June 14th, study of the characters of the Gospels.
So we didn't have class last week. We had the Gospel meeting. We last left off with covering Peter. We got through most of the material. We're going to finish up Peter and then move on to another character. Any questions or comments so far about from last time? Again, we've covered most of Peter's things, especially from the Gospels. We moved on to the book of Acts and covered some of the things that were covered there. So we're going to pick up there in Acts 12. Last time we just mentioned that he had some visions involving Cornelius and the Gentiles receiving the word. He was imprisoned and freed. We talked about that back whenever he was miraculously freed by the angel. Remember that from our other study we had from some time back. And then after that, he goes immediately to John Mark's mother's house. And that's Acts chapter 12. Remember us discussing that. At some point, he's challenged by Paul about not eating with Gentiles. Let's turn to Galatians chapter 2. Begin at verse 11. Paul here is talking here, and he's kind of giving a summation of himself in verse 11. But when Cephas came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face because he stood condemned. For before certain men came from James, he was eating with the Gentiles. When they came, he drew back and separated himself, fearing the circumcision party. The rest of the Jews acted hypocritically along with him, so that even Barnabas was led astray by his hypocrisy. When I saw that their conduct was not in step with the truth of the gospel, I said to Cephas before them all, "If you, though a Jew, live like a Gentile and not like a Jew, how can you force the Gentiles to live like Jews?" Later, in a council, he supported Paul about Gentile conversion, Acts chapter 15. So at some point that happened. And then later, Acts 15. Begin at verse 6. The apostles and the elders were gathered together to consider this matter. And after there had been much debate, Peter stood up and said to them, "Brothers, you know that in the early days, God made a choice among you that by my mouth the Gentiles should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, who knows the heart, bore witness to them by giving them the Holy Spirit just as he did to us. And he made no distinction between us and them, having cleansed their hearts by faith. Now, therefore, why are you putting God to the test by placing a yoke on the neck of the disciples that neither our fathers nor we have been able to bear? But we believe that we will be saved through the grace of the Lord Jesus, just as they will." And all the assembly fell silent, and they listened to Barnabas and Paul as they related what signs and wonders God had done through them among the Gentiles. So we see a reconciliation here. He later ministers in Corinth. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Again, not sure about the time frame. Begin at verse 10. "I appeal to you, brothers, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ," Paul speaking here, "that all of you agree, that there be no divisions among you." Again, he's talking to the Corinthians here. "But that you be united in the same mind and the same judgment. For it has been reported to me by Chloe's people that there is quarreling among you," again, the Corinthians, my brothers. "What I mean is that each one of you says, 'I follow Paul,' or 'I follow Apollos,' or 'I follow Cephas,' or 'I follow Christ.' So at some point for them to say, 'I follow Cephas,' what must have happened? Cephas had to teach him. Just like Paul had to teach him. Paul had to teach him at some point, because they're claiming that they're following Cephas. At some point, he had to be in Corinth. Possibly, it's also note, Asia Minor, including the city or town of Bithynia. And it's evidenced by his writing to them. Let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. And again, we see in these letters, when they write these letters to these churches, these congregations, these places, they normally have been there. They've met these people. They've taught these people. Okay, that's why he's writing these letters to them. Unless Peter just had an interest about godly things to the people here. Let's read 1 Peter chapter 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, who's he writing to? To those who are elect exiles of the dispensation in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. That last city, Bithynia, there. So again, unless he had a special interest to share with them Christian things, Christian ideas, possibly he was there to teach at some point in time in Asia and Bithynia. Now let's look in contrast. Acts chapter 16. And this is for your further study. That's the only note we have of Bithynia and Peter writing to them. We're not told specifically that he went there, but he was writing to those Christians there for some reason. Notice in Acts chapter 16 and verse 6 when it's talking about Paul here. And they went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. And when they had come up to Mysia, they attempted to go into Bithynia. That's that same city that Peter was just writing to. But the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. So Paul was not allowed to go into these areas. I don't know why. Maybe it's because he had his own area that he was to focus on. It could have been that Peter was already working in that area. That's for your own study on that. But do note that 1 Peter was written to this city, area of Asia and Bithynia. And Paul, in contrast, was forbidden to go into those areas. Any questions about that? Again, for your further study on that. Imprisoned in Rome, this is where he writes 1 and 2 Peter. Let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. Verse 13. Now, you're not going to see Rome here. You're going to see something else. Let's go to verse 12 first in his final greeting. By Silvanus, a faithful brother, as I regard him, I have written briefly to you, exhorting and declaring that this is the true grace of God. Stand firm in it. She who is at Babylon, who is likewise chosen, sends you greetings, and so does Mark, my son. So Mark's with him. Greet one another with the kiss of love. That's where he's writing from, is this Babylon. No evidence that he went to the actual area of Babylon, which is very low populated. But Babylon is sometimes referred to as Rome, as we see in Revelation in a couple instances. Tradition has it, though, that he had written this while in prison in Rome. And then also, finally, by tradition, he died a martyr, according to tradition again. This is prophesied by Jesus, though. Turn over to John chapter 21. The type of death he would face. Again, verse 18. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go. And this he said to show by what kind of death that he was a glorified God. And again, by tradition, he was crucified in Rome. Questions or comments about Peter? Next, we're going to move to the brothers of Jesus. Jesus had four brothers. He had at least some sisters as well, at least two. James, Joseph, also known as Joseph, Simon, and Judas are his four brothers' names. They are named as a group twice in the Gospels. None of them believed in Jesus at first. And as far as we know, not until after his resurrection, although it could have been a little bit before. Only two, for sure, we know believed eventually. At least two of them, James and Judas, became believers. James, his brother, is credited with writing the book of James. Judas, his other brother, wrote Jude. We'll talk about that in a moment. They're mentioned many times in the Bible. Let's turn to John chapter 7 and see all the instances that Jesus' brothers or family is named. John chapter 7. We'll be at verse 1. After this, Jesus was about in Galilee. He would not go about in Judea because the Jews were seeking to kill him. Again, this is after John Baptist had already been killed. Now, the Jews' feast of booths was at hand. So his brothers said to him, leave here and go to Judea. Let me stop there for a second. During this time frame in this area, Jesus had still been going around and performing miracles and talking to people, but he's kind of doing it quietly. In other words, everywhere he went, he would always tell them, don't tell anybody what I just did. Or don't tell them who I think they're. He wasn't really doing it completely openly just yet. His disciples were in other areas as well. But let's read back here. Verse 3 again. So his brother said to him, leave here and go to Judea, that your disciples also may see the works you are doing. For no one works in secret if he seeks to be known openly. If you do these things, show yourself to the world. So they're encouraging him to do this, but not for what reason you would think so. Verse 5. For not even his brothers believed in him. They didn't believe he was who he says he was. It's like, if you're going to do this, quit hiding it and go out here in the open and do it in front of your disciples so they can see you doing these things too. Verse 6. Jesus said to them, my time has not yet come. Talking about his time to die. But your time is always here. The world cannot hate you, but it hates me because I testify about it that its works are evil. You go up to the feast. I'm not going up to this feast. For my time has not yet fully come. As he knew when he gets there eventually, they're going to take him and kill him. And his time is not just yet. Some accounts say it's another 6 months out before this happens. After saying this, he remained in Galilee. Verse 10. But after his brothers had gone up to the feast, then he also went up, not publicly, but in private. And the Jews were looking for him at the feast and saying, where is he? And so forth. So we see he does go up there, but in private. He is doing miracles. He is teaching people, but not as openly at this time period anyway. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Main point there, his brothers did not believe he was who he said he was. Not this point in his life. Verse 5. Of course, this was written by Paul. This was done after the resurrection. Do we not have the right to take along a believing wife? Paul's arguing about being married here. As do the other apostles and the brothers of the Lord and Cephas. So he's making a point. Cephas was married, and at least more than two of his brothers, of Jesus' brothers, were also married. And why make the point if they're not believing at this point as well? Galatians chapter 1. Verse 18 and 19. Then after 3 years, Paul again right here to Galatians, he's kind of telling his story. After 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to visit Cephas and remained with him 15 days. But I saw none of the other apostles except James, the Lord's brother. And what I am writing to you before God, I do not lie. And along with this, we'll get to it in just a minute too, I was talking to C.L. earlier, is James being named as an apostle here after the fact. Again, let's read that verse again. But I saw none of the other apostles except James, the Lord's brother. So James is named here. Matthew chapter 12. Again, that's for your further study on that. Verse 46. While he was still speaking to the people, behold, his mother and his brothers stood outside asking to speak to him. But he replied to the man who told him, who is my mother and who are my brothers? And stretching out his hand toward his disciples, he said, here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. Being at this point, his brothers are not believers. Matthew chapter 13, verse 53. And when Jesus had finished these parables, he went away from there. And coming to his hometown, he taught them in their synagogues, so that they were astonished and said, where did this man get this wisdom? And where are these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? And not his brothers James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? Verse 56, and not all his sisters here with us? So again, by saying sisters here, we know he had at least two sisters. Mark chapter 3. Verse verse 20-21. Then he went home. This is just after he named his 12 apostles, by the way. He had just before it's in the same chapter, he had just healed a man with a withered hand. And he had a great crowd following him. He was teaching to them. He chose his 12 apostles. And we're told in verse 20. Then he went home, and the crowd gathered again. So again, he'd been with these great crowds teaching. He separated himself. Let's actually read that. Verse 13 first. And he went up into the mountain and called to him those whom he desired, and they came to meet him. And he appointed 12. Okay, so he had this big group with him. He withdraws. He calls these 12 separately. They're alone. And then get to verse 20. Then he went home after naming them. And the crowd gathered again so that they could not even eat. Again, he's at his house with his family. And when his family heard it, they went out to seize him, for they were saying he is out of his mind. So again, evidence his family did not believe who he was. And he just named his apostle. He'd been teaching for quite some time. Matthew chapter 3, verse 31. It's Mark's account, what we read earlier. And his mother and his brothers came, and standing outside, they sent to him and called him. And again, this is after they already said he's out of his mind. And a crowd was sitting, verse 32, around him. And they said to him, your mother and your brothers are outside seeking you. And he answered them, who are my mother and my brothers? And looking about at those who sat around him, he said, here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of God, he is my brother and sister and mother. And of course, he was aware at this time, his brothers didn't believe. That last verse, Mark chapter 3, verses 31 through 34. Let's now go to Mark chapter 6. You got that, Marilyn? Is it okay? Mark chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. He went away from there and came to his hometown. And his disciples followed him. And on the Sabbath he began to teach in the synagogue. And many who heard him were astonished, saying, where did this man get these things? What is the wisdom given to him? Again, we already read this account. This is Mark's account. How are such mighty works done by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, and the brother of James, and Joseph, and Judas, and Simon? Are not his sisters here with us? And they took offense at him. Go and read verse 4. And Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his own town, and among his relatives, and his own household. So even again, evidence that Jesus recognized that his own brothers, his family, did not believe him at this point. Luke chapter 8. Verses 19 and 20. Then his mother and his brothers came to him, but they could not reach him because of the crowd. And he was told, your mother and your brothers are standing outside, desiring to see you. But he answered them, my mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it. So, same instance, Luke's account, different wording, but same point. John chapter 2. One of the main points from those verses, as we can see, is Jesus recognizes spiritual things come before family. He recognizes. He says, if you do the will of my Father, you're my mother and my father, and my brothers, and so forth. My physical ones don't even believe. John chapter 2, verse 11 and 12. This is the first of the signs Jesus did in Cana in Galilee. So he just turned the water to wine. And manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. Verse 12. After this, he went down to Capernaum with his mother and his brothers and his disciples, and they stayed there for a few days. Just showing another instance where it's named. Acts chapter 1. Outside of the Gospels. They're waiting in Jerusalem. Verse 14. Actually, let's begin at verse 12. And they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olive, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day journey away. And when they'd entered, they went up to the upper room where they were staying. Peter and John and James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus and Simon the Zealot, and Judas the son of James. All these, with one accord, were devoting themselves to prayer together with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. And so they were present there. We even see further in verse 15, there was even more than that there. In those days, Peter stood up among the brothers. The company of persons was in all about 120. So a great crowd of people, but they were there. It says brothers. Were all four of them there? I don't know. We know more, at least two of them were there. Questions about Jesus' brothers as a group? Let's look at James, his brother James. That's the one we know most about. We do know, as we've seen, at first he was an unbeliever. And then he came to believe at some point in time. It could have been after the resurrection, could have been before. But at some time he comes to believe. And he's identified with those believers in Jerusalem. Shortly after Paul's conversion, Paul saw James. When Peter went to John Mark's mother's house after he escaped from prison, he asked that word be sent to James. James presided over the meeting where it was agreed that Paul would go to the Gentiles to preach. And we also know, as we saw from 1 Corinthians, that James was married. Acts chapter 12, verse 17, some verses. We're going to read verse 17 just a minute, but let's go back to Acts chapter 12, verse 1. About that time, Herod the king laid violent hands on some who belonged to the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. So, James, the brother of John, is dead. So we're not talking about that, James. Move on down to verse 17. But motioning to them, this is where Peter had been rescued out of prison by the angel. He comes to John Mark's mother's house. Verse 17. But motioning to them with his hand to be silent, he described to them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, tell these things to James and to the brothers. Probably referring there to Jesus' brothers, James and his brothers. Then he departed and went to another place. As to the circumcision of the Gentiles, Acts chapter 15. Again, we're beyond where James the Apostle was. Verses 1 and 2. But some men came down from Judea and were teaching the brothers, unless you are circumcised, and brothers being meaning Christians here, unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved. After Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and debate with them, Paul and Barnabas and some of the others were appointed to go up to Jerusalem to the apostles and to the elders about this question. Skip down to verse 12. So this is why they're there, but this question. Again, verse 12. And all the assembly fell silent, and they listened to Barnabas and Paul as they related what signs and wonders God had done through them among the Gentiles. After they finished speaking, James replied, brothers, listen to me. Simeon has related how God first visited the Gentiles to take from them a people for his name. And with this, the words of the prophets agree, just as it is written. After this, I will return, and I will rebuild the tent of David that has fallen. I will rebuild its ruins and will restore it, that the remnant of mankind may seek the Lord and all the Gentiles who are called by my name, says the Lord, who makes these things known from of old. Therefore, my judgment is that we should not trouble those of the Gentiles who turn to God, but should write to them to abstain from the things polluted by idols, from sexual immorality, from what has been strangled, and from blood. For from ancient generations, Moses has had in every city those who proclaim him, for he is read every Sabbath in the synagogue. So James puts this forth. Later on, Acts chapter 21. Begin at verse 17 through 26. When we had come to Jerusalem, again, that's where James is at, the brothers received us gladly. On the following day, Paul went in with us to James, and all the elders were present. After greeting them, he related one by one the things that God had done among the Gentiles through his ministries. And when they'd heard it, they glorified God, and they said to him, you see, brother, how many thousands there are among the Jews of those who believe. They are all zealous for the law, and they have been told about you that you teach all the Jews who are among the Gentiles to forsake Moses, telling them not to circumcise their children or walk according to our customs. What then is to be done? They will certainly hear that you have come. Do therefore what we tell you. We have four men who are under a vow. Take these men and purify yourself along with them and pay their expenses so that they may shave their heads. Thus all will know that there is nothing in what you've been told about you, but that you yourself also live in observance of the law. But as for the Gentiles who have believed, as we already read, we have sent a letter from our judgment that they should abstain from what has been sacrificed to idols and from blood and from what has been strangled and from sexual immorality. Then Paul took the men, and the next day he purified himself along with them and went to the temple, giving notice when the days of purification would be fulfilled and the offering presented for each of them. Again, this reaccount of what James had told them to this letter. Jesus appeared to him. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verse 1. Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. He was buried, he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. And then he appeared to Cephas and to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, also to one of the time he was born, he appeared also to me. So he appeared unto Paul as well, obviously. He's mentioned by Paul twice, Galatians chapter 1. And I'm going to read verses 11 and then into chapter 2 a little bit. See where he's mentioned here. We've already read some of these verses. Let's get the whole context now. Verse 11 of Galatians 1. For I would have you know, brothers, that the gospel that was preached by me is not man's gospel. For I do not receive it from any man, nor as I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my former life in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God violently and tried to destroy it. And I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my own age among my people. So extremely zealous was I for the traditions of my fathers. But when he who had set me apart before I was born and who called me by his grace was pleased to reveal his son to me in order that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately consult with anyone. Nor did I go to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but I went away into Arabia and returned again to Damascus. So here a little bit of time on Paul. Paul, after Saul had turned to Paul and been saved, he didn't go to meet with anybody. He went away to teach in Damascus and Arabia area. Verse 18. Then after 3 years, so he's not met any apostles yet, I went up to Jerusalem to visit Cephas, as we read earlier, and I remained with him 15 days. But I saw none of the other apostles except for James, the Lord's brother. Verse 20. In what I am writing to you before God, I do not lie. And then I went to the regions of Syria and Sicily, and I was still unknown in person to the churches of Judea that are in Christ. In other words, he hadn't been there. They only were hearing it said, he who used to persecute us is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy. And they glorified God because of me. Chapter 2. Then after 14 years, you know, a lot of times we read through Paul's stuff and it seems like it's all just, you know, this is a long time period. Paul does all this preaching. But after 14 years, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas, taking Titus along with me. I went up because of revelation and set before them, though privately before those who seemed influential, the gospel that I proclaim among the Gentiles, in order to make sure I was not running or had not run in vain. So he goes there to talk to them. He talks to a few of them on the side first in private. Verse 3. But even Titus, who was with me, was not forced to be circumcised, though he was a Greek. Yet because of false brothers secretly brought in, who slipped in to spy out our freedom that we have in Christ Jesus, so that they might bring us into slavery. To them we did not yield in submission, even for a moment, so that the truth of the gospel might be preserved for you and from those who seem to be influential. What they were makes no difference to me. God shows no partiality. Those, I say, who seemed influential added nothing to me. On the contrary, when they saw that I had been entrusted with the gospel to the uncircumcised, just as Peter had been entrusted with the gospel to the circumcised, for he was... he who worked through Peter for his apostolic ministry to the circumcised worked also through me, from mine to the Gentiles. And when James and Cephas and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given to me, they gave the right hand of fellowship to Barnabas and to me, we should go up to the Gentiles and they to the circumcised. So again, for your own study, when it mentions here that he went to them in the time frame, he mentions James and Cephas and John as pillars. Is that James the apostle, or was he already dead? Is this James the brother of Jesus, who was in Jerusalem at the time? Again, this is 14 years, a three-year period, and then a 14 years. So it's a lot of time frame that's going there. So for your own study there, is he speaking about James, Cephas, and John here, who seem to be pillars? Any questions about James? I have nothing to say about Joseph or Simon, because they're not mentioned. But there is Judas. Let's turn over to James chapter 1, first of all. Now again, James, the book of James is credited with James, the brother of Jesus. But it doesn't say here. It just says, James, the servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes in the dispensation. But turn over to Jude chapter 1. You remember Jesus had a brother named Judas. Jude, verse 1. Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ and brother of who? James. To those who are called beloved in God and the Father and kept for Jesus Christ. Jude is attributed to Jesus' brother Judas. Questions?